Well, welcome to 2019. I was talking with Teresa the other day about, you know, do you remember when 2019 seemed like it was way off into the future? Well, here we are. And how many of you have a New Year's resolution or a personal commitment you're making going into 2019 relating to diet or exercise or some lifestyle change? And accountability is good for the soul, so raise those hands, okay? All right. I hope you succeed. I hope you achieve the results that you're looking for in those endeavors. You know, a new year is a time when a lot of people set new goals and they take on new habits in hopes to reach those goals. Gracie, you got some new habits? No? Yeah, we set new goals and new habits and hopes to reach those goals. Gym memberships skyrocket this time of year. Enrollment in Weight Watchers and similar organizations goes up. You know, people got Fitbits for Christmas and they're installing, you know, fitness and nutrition apps on their phone. And all of these new habits and new routines, hopefully to make a new you. Or at least a better you. But all of these things have to do with discipline. Self-discipline, self-control. Now, here's a definition of discipline, and it's probably the best one I found. And I found it in the book, The Dude's Guide to Manhood. But here it is. Any activity I can do by direct effort that will help me do what I cannot now do by direct effort. So I can't do it now, I'm not there yet, but if I begin doing these practices, if I engage in these habits, then I'll be able to do it someday. I'll be there someday. And so you have this long journey that you're going to get there step by step by step by step. That's discipline. And discipline can help you achieve success in any area of life. In fact, you could say that discipline is necessary to succeed in any area of life. Now, if you have a lot of raw talent and raw skill, you might be able to get by in some area. But if you really want to do well, it's going to take discipline. Any successful athlete knows this. Any musician, any artist understands this. Even Joey Chestnut understands this. Do you know who Joey Chestnut is, anybody? Joey Chestnut, 11-time champion of hot dog eating contests, right? And not just hot dogs. I mean, he's won like apple pie eating contests and barbecue eating contests. And you would think if you eat for a living, that would be a pretty sweet job, right? You'd think. But I was reading an interview with Joey Chestnut, and he has a strict training regimen that requires lots and lots of discipline. Well, eating, too. But the way he has to do it, Sean, let me tell you, it's kind of gross. Yeah. It takes lots of discipline. An NFL quarterback doesn't start off at that level. A master carpenter begins as an apprentice. A musician doesn't begin by performing in Carnegie Hall. It takes years of discipline, training, and practice to get there. Now, has anyone here competed in a marathon? Half marathon? How far did you go, Terry? For a full marathon. How long did you train for that? 4 months. And you were probably in pretty decent shape to begin with? Okay. 6 months. Anybody else in some extreme endurance athletic endeavor? Melissa, what'd you do? Half marathon? How long did you train for that? A long time. All right, so you don't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to run a marathon, and you go do it the next day. If it ends not in an ambulance, it's a good thing, right? Absolutely. We are starting a new series called Walking with God. And in this series, we're going to be looking at spiritual habits for ordinary people. And these are habits that will grow your faith, habits that will grow your vision, and habits that will grow you closer in your relationship with your Lord and Savior. Now, traditionally, these habits are called spiritual disciplines. Now, that's not a biblical term. You can't look spiritual disciplines up in a Bible concordance, but it is a biblical idea. I want you to check out this verse. Paul is writing to a young minister. His name is Timothy. Paul met Timothy as a young man. He took Timothy under his wing and has been training him and mentoring him as a church leader. And here's what Paul writes to Timothy. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And the word that Paul uses here for train is this word. Go ahead and throw up the next slide. Does that look familiar to you? What word do you think we get from that word? Gymnasium, gymnastics, gym. They pronounced it hymnazo. But just check, you guys were all Greek scholars and you didn't even know it. But that word had to do with physical training. Training for an athletic endeavor. And if you took that word and applied it to another area of life, it meant to discipline one's self. And what Paul's telling Timothy here is, you know, physical training has some value. Physical discipline is helpful for some things, but spiritual discipline is useful for what? All things, everything. And not only that, he says it's useful for everything right here, right now, in this present life, and it's also useful for the life to come, for eternity. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of physical shape you're in. It doesn't matter how much you train. It doesn't matter how much you exercise. Do you know what's going to happen to your physical body someday? It's going to get old. It's going to get weak. It's going to get sickly. Doesn't matter how much you train. But Paul is saying here, if you train spiritually, that's something you can take with you. It will stick with you forever. Now, in case you're thinking, well, of course Paul would say that to a young minister. He's a church leader. He's being trained as a leader in the church. Of course, he needs to do these things. But Paul's not writing to an ordinary person like me. Well, I want you to listen to what Paul has to say to a group of Christians who live in the city of Corinth. And they're just average, ordinary Christians who are members of this church in Corinth. And here's what he writes to them. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So spiritual disciplines are our habits that will help us grow in our walk with God. Go back to our definition of discipline. Any activity I can do by direct effort that will help me do what I cannot now do by direct effort. Now simply apply that to our spiritual lives. Spiritual disciplines are spiritual practices that I can do in my life right now, that you can do in your life right now, so that one day you can do or become spiritually what you can't do and who you aren't right now. Another way of looking at it is this. Spiritual disciplines are to arrange your outer life so that you can grow your inner life. Another definition I really like comes from Brett and Kate McKay. They've written an excellent series of articles on the spiritual disciplines, and you can find them on the Art of Manliness blog. And here's how they define them. Spiritual disciplines are habits, practices, and experiences that are designed to develop, grow, and strengthen certain qualities of the spirit, to build the muscles of one's character and expand the breadth of one's inner life. Or to put it simply, spiritual disciplines are the workouts that train the soul. Spiritual disciplines are the workouts that train the soul. Now, what are the disciplines? Well, there's not a cut and dried list. There's some variance from one list to the next. But down through the centuries, there have been certain practices and habits that have become recognized by the greater Christian community as spiritual disciplines. And for this study, we are going to be looking at biblical habits, things that were exemplified or taught by Jesus and by the inspired biblical writers. These include what we'll call personal disciplines that are focused inwardly, the inward disciplines of Bible study, prayer, fasting, and what is called solitude, spending time alone with God. Then there's the outwardly focused disciplines, such as serving, stewardship, and perseverance. And then there are the community disciplines that we do with each other, such as worship, celebration, and confession. Now, this means that we aren't going to spend time looking at man-made practices that have been brought in from outside of the Bible. And it doesn't matter how valuable or helpful they might be. For instance, I'm a huge believer in something called journaling. And journaling has been very helpful to me. But I don't feel like you should be made to feel like you ought to do that. I can't point to a book, chapter, and verse and say, Sean, you need to do this. I can't do that. So we're going to stick with biblical things. We're also not going to be bringing in practices from other faiths and other traditions. So, for instance, feng shui is not a spiritual discipline. Now, you know about feng shui? It's an ancient Chinese word that means all your husband's stuff goes in the garage. So guys, if you hear your wives use that word, be very afraid. All right? And when we talk about meditation, we're not talking about the same thing as Eastern mysticism. Now, maybe there's something out there that's helpful. But when we start bringing those things in as spiritual disciplines into our Christian experience, we risk exposing ourselves to error and dabbling in things that we as Christians, we don't need to be messing with. Spiritual disciplines need to bring you closer to God, not lead you astray. Now, while we're talking about what the disciplines are, it can also be helpful to talk about what they are not. Number one, the spiritual disciplines have nothing to do with your position in Christ. If you are a Christian, you are covered by the blood of Jesus, your sins are forgiven, and your eternity is assured by the grace of God. You're not going to die, and you're going to get up to the pearly gates, and Peter's going to say, oh, well, wait a minute here. I'm looking down and you didn't get up early enough to read your Bible. I can't let you in. I'm sorry. That's not how it works. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Your salvation is from God. It's based on what God has done and what Jesus has done, not on what you do. Not because you fasted enough or you got up at 4 a.m. to read your Bible or anything like that. Secondly, spiritual disciplines have nothing to do with God's favor. God isn't going to like you more or love you better because you do these things. You know what the Bible tells us? Is that God already loved you before you ever even thought about loving Him. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." That means while you were living your life in open sin, open defiance and rebellion against Him, God already loved you. And He loved you immeasurably. You're not going to make Him love you anymore because you do these things. And He's not going to love you any less because you don't. His love for you is not conditioned upon performance. Thirdly, spiritual disciplines are not a shortcut. This isn't a quick and easy step to anything. This isn't the equivalent of some muscle-building powder you buy off the back of someone's truck in the parking lot of GNC, okay? This isn't the equivalent of a diet pill that gives you a summer swimsuit body in only 6 weeks. Right? Spiritual disciplines require, you guessed it, discipline. They take work. They take effort. Sometimes they are very difficult. But I will say this. They can also bring you moments of immense joy, of incredible fulfillment, and intense satisfaction. Some of the most wonderful memories I have as a Christian are tied in some way to the spiritual disciplines. Fourthly, the spiritual disciplines aren't just for the spiritual elite. Some people have this mistaken notion that the spiritual disciplines are for monks who live in monasteries out in the desert somewhere or up on top of a mountain, but they don't really fit with real life. But here's the thing about spiritual disciplines. They're for everyone. Anyone can do these things. A brand new believer or a lifelong follower in Christ, young or old, it doesn't matter. Anybody can do these things. Anybody can pray. Anybody can meditate on God's Word. Anyone can worship. Anyone can confess. Anyone can give. The bottom line is this. The spiritual disciplines are for you. You can do this. I can do this. We can all do this. So we've talked about what the spiritual disciplines are. We've talked about what they're not. The last question I want to deal with this morning is the why. Why do we need to do these things? Why are they so important? If these disciplines are not essential to my salvation, then why do I even need to bother with them? And I want to give you two reasons. Number one, spiritual disciplines bring you godliness. It brings you godliness. Go back to our verse in Timothy. What did he say? Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. We are training to be godly. We are exercising godliness. Godliness means to live your life with the respect for and reverence for God and the things of God. It is to live your life with the recognition and awareness of God's presence. But here's the thing. God is always present. He's always there. He's always active. He's always working in your life. The problem is we don't always see it. We don't always recognize it. We lose sight of it. We are so easily distracted that we quickly forget that God is there and that God is working and He's active in our lives. But He is there. God was there when you were in the drive-thru lane on Monday. He was present when you Facebooked on Tuesday. He was there with you when you were at the doctor's office on Wednesday. He was with you when you were in the school pickup lane on Thursday. He was there when you were watching Netflix on Friday. And He was there when you were at Walmart on Saturday. The problem is, we're not always with Him. And this is where the spiritual disciplines come in. The spiritual disciplines help us walk with God. They help us to see and recognize His presence. They help us to recognize those God moments in the ordinary. They help us to see the divine in the mundane. The reason that we find godliness so hard is because we haven't trained for it. Oh, we try, but it doesn't come to us by nature. And the only way that hard things become easy is by what? Training and practice. That's the only way hard things become easy. And we spend so much of our Christian lives simply trying. We try to be more patient. We try to be more loving. We try to be encouraging. And we try and we fail. We must train. Because, Terry, it's like trying to run a marathon without training. No. If I decided right now, hey, I'm running a marathon, it doesn't matter how hard I try. I'm going to fail. And I'm going to be miserable in the process. There is a huge difference between trying to do something and training to do something. And I've got my own experience with this. Most of you know I'm an avid cyclist. And I have been riding for, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years. And when I moved here, I was riding about 5 miles a day when I rode. And I thought I was putting in some serious distance. But then something happened. I got connected to some people, and I can blame Crystal for this. Because she met some ladies that are a part of this club. They call themselves the Marshfield Cyclones. And they would ride 30, 50, 70 miles just for fun. And when I first met them, I thought, you all are nuts. But in about a 6-month period of time, I went from where I was riding 5 miles to where I could ride long distances. I remember the first time I rode 20 miles. I rode from my house out to Hampton Corn Maze, 20 miles there and back. And I thought, wow, that's a long ways. And I remember the first time I went more than 50 miles. I went with that group, and we rode all the way to downtown Springfield to Hertz Donuts. Now, Rick, where's Rick Bowman? Rick, that's one donut I earned. Let me tell you, not like these donuts out here that you bring us. You know, and in a 6-month period of time, I got to where I could ride 100 miles in one go. But I couldn't just get up and decide, hey, I'm going to ride 100 miles. Not without training, not without practice. And here's the thing, godliness comes by training. You can try to be more patient, or you can train in patience. You can try to be more loving, or you can train in love. I want you to check out this verse. This comes from the book of Hebrews, and it's talking about reading and understanding God's Word and applying it to our lives. And it compares it to nutrition and how there is milk in the Word and there's the meat of the Word. And here's what it says. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There's the training. You don't start off in the Christian life being able to understand the subtle nuances between right and wrong all the time. That comes by training. So the spiritual disciplines bring you godliness. The second thing goes the other direction. The spiritual disciplines bring God glory. They bring Him glory. 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter closes his second letter with these words. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now, Peter doesn't say this just because it sounds like a good way to end the letter. Peter says this because he's making a point. And he's saying that as you grow in godliness, it brings him glory. And did you catch that just like as you train in godliness, it's useful for your life both now and forever. And he says, as you grow in godliness, it brings him glory both now and forever. It has eternal value. And to bring him glory means to lift him up, to make his name, his presence, his greatness known. And so as you grow in godliness, your life becomes a pedestal, a mantle, on which God's greatness and His glory and the glory of His Son Jesus is put on display for all to see. To put it another way, as you grow in godliness, as you train in godliness, the more of Jesus you will see, and the more of Jesus everyone else will see. And isn't that what we want? To see more of Jesus, to know more of Jesus, to experience more of His presence in our lives, and then for others to see Him too. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're after? You know, as a preacher, many times I've asked this question. What are you living for? What are you living for? And in light of this sermon, I think maybe I have been asking the wrong question. What are you living for isn't the right question. The right question is this. What life are you training for? Because that which you regularly do and that which you regularly practice, that's the life you're living for. Doesn't matter what life you're wishing for, what life you dream about, that which you regularly do and practice, that's what you are living for. So I'm not asking you to change your New Year's resolutions, but I do want to invite you to train for something that really matters. And in 2019, I want to invite you to be really real with your God. I want to invite you to embrace the battle between your best self and your worst self. I want to invite you into a life of spiritual and moral adventure. And I want to invite you over these next few weeks to go with us on this journey as we talk about walking with God. And the way we walk with God is to engage in these habits, these spiritual disciplines that will train us in godliness. And as we grow in godliness, we will be walking with God. This journey begins like any other trip you might take with a decision to go. Hey, we're going here. Hey, let's go do this. And so what I'm asking you this morning is simply to make the decision to go. And as we go through these next few weeks, I want you to identify some specific things that you can begin doing and putting into practice in your life. Things that you can begin training in. That's the call this morning. Would you please stand with me as we pray? Father God, this is a journey we all can make. You've invited us all to